Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Thanks for being here at The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. Brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. We guarantee you a great show every week, and we've been talking about this show for a couple of weeks now as we get to talk directly to one of our folks who is a feature provider here, a very special part of The Advertising Show, Gene Bliss. Gene has a brand new book out called I Love You More Than My Dog, 5 Decisions That Drive Extreme Customer Loyalty in Good Times and Bad. And these are the bad times, so this is a good book for the bad times, and a good book for the good times, too. A little bit, we've got one of Gene's features that we'll play today's show a little bit later on, all about fan websites. Do you have a fan website? I know our company has a fan website, and it's a great idea as well. So think about something like that as you listen to her feature on that. Shameen Abbas with us too, activist for excellence, CEOs and executive blogs is what she is talking about today here at The Advertising Show. And if you don't know much about Gene, we will inform you of that here in just a little while, too. So glad to have you here at The Advertising Show. What do you got there, Brad?
Well, we're going to have to check with Gene to see if her dog, who's on the front cover here, is getting any royalties for this book. A tall order, I might add. I love you more than my dog. If you're a customer service-oriented company, you know what it takes. If you're a company that needs a little brushing up in that regard, you definitely want to stay tuned. Looking forward to talking to Gene.
That is if you're still in business at this particular point
in time,
right?
Well, that's true.
Exactly.
That's true. And, you know, got some interesting questions for Gene, not only from her book, but for just in general what's going on.
I'm
going
to ask what Target she got the cart from, because that's definitely a Target shopping cart.
Nowadays, you could, you know, the way they take those off of the property, you could probably buy one at your local flea market. you know, we talked about last week, Ray, Letterman and the scandal and all that. CBS News correspondent Armin Kadyatyan and his team of producers are investigating. Yes, you're welcome. Thank you. Please, I've never heard of that guy before. By the way, it's Keteyian. Kadyatyan. So anyway, I've never heard of this guy. But anyway, he and his producers are investigating the network's David Letterman love triangle. Whether the story actually will make air remains to be seen. But you know, the network news is investigating one of their stars of late night. It'll be interesting to see if they do air that.
It's not 48 hours, right?
Well, I don't know. It just says him and his team of producers. I guess it could end up anywhere.
That's funny. Okay. Good old Dave. Got to feel bad for his wife of so short a time in the relationship for so long a time. Very interesting, too. Yeah, and they're still talking about it, like we are as well. What a concept there.
Well, briefly.
Have you seen the Micro, the Discovery Dirty Jobs guy? Have you ever seen that show?
Yes, I have.
Okay, well, they've really got a great person there for basically into phase two of a three-part web campaign. It's all about Ford's Super Duty trucks. Should it be Super Dirty trucks? The effort features Roe, host of Dirty Jobs, who acts as a tour guide and promoter for Ford's large haulers. In the latest iteration, Ford is creating a series of videos detailing the experience of several companies who get an early build version of the Super Duty to use for 6 months. He was first used on television and online in a series of spots that actually are still running for the F-150, and doing a great job, too. What a great connection to have with that particular brand. We wish Mike all the best, and, of course, Ford all the best, too, as they try to market these things. They're actually not bad. They're pretty good trucks as well. Hey, Shameen Abbas is with us here at The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. And as we said, she's talking about CEOs and executive blogs. And we'll listen to that right now.
And now it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shameen Abbas.
CEO and executive blogs, not just hot air. Does the CEO of your agency or a client want his or her own blog? Or do members of the executive team want their own blogs? It must be said that very few CEOs use this tool, although those that do find it an excellent medium to come into contact with all kinds of people they may otherwise never have come into contact with. And very importantly, the media who cover the company will become immediate followers. Our client Jordan Zimmerman of Zimmerman Advertising launched his own blog less than a month ago, YouSleepWhenYouDie.com, and already subscribers number in the hundreds. There's no hot air coming from popular CEO blogs like Sun Microsystems CEO Jonathan Schwartz, GoDaddy's Bob Parsons, Red Balloon Day's Naomi Simpson, and Marriott International's Bill Marriott. And many more CEOs of smaller companies are maintaining blogs now. Marketers should play a role in creating the blog's stylistic guidelines and help the CEOs and execs with writing and editing, at least initially. A CEO rarely needs guidance on knowing what to say, but he or she may need guidance in voice and style appropriate to the company's objectives. Images and videos should be available to illustrate the topics CEOs and execs speak about, as well as their photographs or personalization. A CEO blog may only need to be updated once a month, bending what I believe to be the once-a-week rule, since the media and others understand the severe time constraints they're often under. CEOs will get good readership regardless. Showing the talents of the executive team through individual blogs is also a great way to build rapport. As always, the trick is to be sure they have the time and the will to write once a week. Early enthusiasm is to be expected, but often the scheduling realities set in. Encourage them to think of the audience perspective over the company's message, since sometimes ROI creeps into their thinking and they start to use their blogs as a sales pitch. That is a no-no. Personality, presence, relevance, and a touch of sarcasm, playfulness, or whatever characterizes your exec should creep in. This is about the personalities behind the company, not the company itself.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
That is Shamin Abbas. As always, a pleasure, Shamin, to have you here at the show, The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Today we have a very special guest, a friend of the show, has been with the show for several years now. Gene Bliss has been inside for 25 years, a wrestling arm on behalf of their customer as chief customer zealot for five large U.S. market leaders. Gene has fought valiantly to get the customer on the strategic agenda, redirecting priorities, creating transformational changes to the brand's customer experience. She has driven achievement of 95% loyalty rates, changing customer experiences across 50,000-person organizations, convincing even the staunchest curmudgeons to help push the customer rock up the hill. And that's a tough thing to do. Gene has been the apex of a remarkable customer creations and has driven achievements inside large corporate machines. Let's see, developed her passion for the customer at Land's End, which is a warm and fuzzy brand, obviously. The senior VP of franchise services at Coldwell Banker, served Allstate Corporation as the chief officer for customer satisfaction and retention. Microsoft Corporation's GM of worldwide customer and partner loyalty, Mazda Motor of America, and on and on and on. And that and on and on and on is now today as we talk about a brand new book, which is being released as we speak here. I Love You More Than My Dog. Five decisions that drive extreme customer loyalty in good times and bad. And this will be fun to go through the book. Basically, some things that she talks about: belief, clarity of purpose, being real, being there, and being able to say, I'm sorry. So that movie way back in the 70s is wrong, and I tend to go along with that stuff. You always got to be able to say you're sorry and make things better. Hey, Brad, we're coming up on the break here.
Sorry.
But I just wanted to make sure you were okay there. You want something to drink or anything like that?
Nah, that's scotch you gave me before the show is perfect.
Is perfect, I see. Hey, the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. About to engage with Gene Bliss here on the Advertising Show, I Love You More Than My Dog. Let's find out what that's all about.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
Nobody can call George Whipple an old fuddy-duddy. This new sign is right up with the times. Maybe this will stop the ladies from squeezing Charmin bathroom tissue.
Back as promised here with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. And now out of California, it's Gene Bliss. I Love You More Than My Dog is the name of the book. Five decisions that drive extreme customer loyalty. Not just customer loyalty, extreme customer loyalty in good times and bad. Gene, it is so good to have you here. Welcome. Welcome back. I should say, well, you're always here anyway, but welcome.
It's so great to talk to you guys live and in person.
Yeah, no kidding. Good to have a dialogue. So, great book.
Thank you. So good to hear that you like it.
Yeah, Gene, we were discussing before you came on the air today that Ray and I, we've covered customer loyalty before, but not in the way that you have written this book. It's an interesting format. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a second. But first off, other than the fact that you're a customer loyalty expert, Gene, tell us a little bit about why you decided to write this book.
Well, you know, it's interesting because there's been so much hand-waving and discussing about customers for years and years, and what I wanted to show was the inside of the clock, what enables these companies to become as wonderful, and I use the word beloved in the book, as they are, and it's really, at the end of the day, decisions and how they make decisions differently and how they steer decisions in directions, and that's what makes them different. That's the secret sauce. So I actually wanted to deconstruct those things for people.
Well, and I got to say, Ray and I, again, we're just before we came on today talking about how we do see a lot of books, publishers send us review copies all the time. And this topic has been attempted by many, but yet your approach, the format of the book, it's very flowing. It really drives home the overarching theme of each chapter. So I'm curious, was that an editor that helped you with that, or was that all your idea? How'd you come up with the format?
Well, I had a great editor and editing staff over at Portfolio, the publisher of the book, but these ideas were mine, and the reason I came up with these ideas is because, you know, as having been in corporate America for 25 years, I know that we have the attention span of a nanosecond of attention, and what I wanted to do was take these complex subjects and break them into mini meals, so you can absorb something, and then I wanted to jolt you with a question that challenged how you were making the same decision in your company. So it's written purposefully in that same way, and I'm telling you, I really did have to plead, cajole, and passionately take a stand that this was the way the book had to really read and flow.
Yeah, you know, so many business books try to tackle, I think, a bit too much, and it's, you know, like you're in school again, college or whatever, but yet you take five topics, as Ray pointed out just before you came on today, and you drive home each one of those topics, and we're going to go through each of those next segment. But meanwhile, who should be reading this book, Gene? Who's your target audience?
Well, you know, I wanted to cast a much wider net with this book, and the decision makers are not just leaders inside of businesses. One of the things that is important to understand, especially with customer interactions, is that you are in charge of the inflection point at a moment when you're interacting with a customer, and you get to choose if you're going to create a memory or not. And so people throughout all kinds of organizations can look at this. Colleen Barrett, the president emeritus of Southwest, who wrote the foreword, said, you know, this is a book to help you even help yourself personally. But it's not only also just for big corporations. I wanted to have this be a book that was accessible and consumable for every size company, from the small mom and pop all the way up through the big corporations. And I think you can find yourself in this book.
Yeah, great.
I can see that clearly. Early on in your book, Gene, you say that your collective decisions reveal who you are and what you value. And you say this because your story, which is the story your customers are telling about your company. First off, I want to ask you, how can a company learn what its customer story is about? And let's say they discover that the story they learn about is maybe not what they had hoped for. How can you change it?
Well, you know, that is, you got right to the heart of it, which is the title of the book, I Love You More Than My Dog, is actually a proxy for the social media going on out in the world, which is your customers are telling the story to friends, neighbors, relatives, everyone on the internet of who you are and what you value. And that's what we're talking about, is the story being told about you. You cannot manipulate the story. Your customers want to tell it. And the actions and the outcomes of the actions that come from your decisions are what becomes the collective story.
And so many people, you know, try the old-fashioned way with focus groups and customer surveys to figure out what their story is, but you suggest a bit of a different approach.
Right. I mean, it's two things. One is reaching out to customers who are interacting with you on a regular basis in social media, and then the other thing is, of course, getting control of what you are telling as your story based on how you're making decisions. And really, at the end of the day, you want your customers to grow your business for you because they feel so compelled that they want other people to experience what you're delivering.
You know, and you talk about, I want to go back to asking the question about, let's say you discover your story and it's not quite up to par of what you'd hoped it to be. Not an easy task when it comes to getting out there and changing the consumer's mind as far as their perception of your company. If once it's in the minds of the consumers, it's difficult to change, isn't it?
Bad, yeah.
Well, and it is, and that's interesting, the power of social media and what's going on in the world today is that you need to earn the right, and lots of companies feel that they want to go get the rave, but you really need to earn the rave from your customers. And it just gets right back to why I focus that it's decisions. And you need to be very careful when you're choosing, making a choice about how you're going to move your company in one direction or another, because very rapidly the results of those decisions are out on the Internet. You know, when, I don't know if you remember when, for example, after the iPhone came out, they lowered the price very quickly, almost too quickly, for their passionate customers who stood in line for hours and hours. It was out in the airwaves within minutes of that action being taken.
Some of the get-to-rave things are more like the idiotic mission statements that companies and such come up with, as opposed to letting the public decide who is who they're all about as well. Gene Bliss is our very special guest here at the Advertising Show with Ray Schillins. And Brad Forsythe, being powered by Schipul.com. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. And a great marketing platform called Tendency. Check it out at Schipul.com. Ed does a great job for us. Back with more with Ray and Brad in just a minute.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet.
Glad to have you here at The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsythe. And our special guest is Gene Bliss. I Love You More Than My Dog. It's a brand new book out, and it's out right now. Gene referred to Colleen Barrett, who is president emeritus Southwest Airlines. And it's funny, in the foreword it says, "Frankly, when I read Gene's book, I Love You More Than My Dog, the first time, I was somewhat jealous, the draft that is, that she had put her thoughts on paper before I had a chance to do so. And understanding the complex system of Southwest Airlines, I can see how she might feel that way too as well, Gene. You told an interesting story in your book as well about Land's End, which is an incredible company, or at least I say was an incredible company, more incredible in the past, I think, but apparently Land's End had shipped out a whole bunch of towels or something that had come apart, and finish the story for me there.
Sure. Well, so it's very compelling because we were in the early days of cataloging, you know, you'd send off a check. Now, this was in the 80s. It ages all of us, right? So in the early 80s, when cataloging was just beginning, you'd send a $50 check off somewhere. You didn't know if you were going to get anything back. And our word was surrounding around our guarantee and that we were going to live up to our promises. And so that meant we had sent out a whole bunch of towels, like you said, and we had a rigorous quality assurance process. The first batch was QA approved. It went out. So we continued to send out towels, assuming that everything else was following suit in that same QA standard. And we came upon a box of towels that had a minor flaw in them, but didn't live up to our expectations. And so we sent a new towel to everyone who had received a previous towel, not knowing if their towel was flawed or not, but we wanted to live up to the fact that we were as good as our word and quality was quality, and we made a promise. And so we sent a new towel, and we said, hey, we're not sure if the towel you already received is flawed, but we wanted to send you a new one just in case. If the old one's good, hey, you got another towel. If it's not, use it to wash the dog. Everything's about a dog these days. Or wash the car, and it's on us.
Where did that come from? Did that come from the top, or did it come from where?
It was a bunch of us sitting in a room saying, hey, what do we want to have done to us, for us, if we were, you know, this happened to us. So, you know, we didn't really overcomplicate things. And that, we were able to decide, I talk about in the book, the golden rule, you know, it's pretty simple. It costs money, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But these are the investments that, and the decisions that really stamped Land's End for who they were and connected us in a real human way, like people talking to people, not a big corporation talking to a little customer. And that emotional connection grew the company.
You know, and you say it cost you money. If Ray or I received something like that from a catalog and it wasn't pertaining to our particular product and we didn't take you up on that offer, there's a huge, huge improvement in the brand from our perspective, even though we didn't take you up on the offer when the company does something like
that.
We're
going to talk about that like crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, staying with the trusting your customer idea for a moment, Gene, you point out in your book, nurturing the organization is important, but putting total trust in your employees is at the top of the list.
Yep.
So when it comes to building trust, explain, Gene, why it is that it all starts with trusting your staff first.
Sure. And thanks for bringing that up. That's actually the very first decision in the book, and I call it Decide to Believe, number one. And this is around suspending cynicism, and this isn't blind belief, but rather believing that your employees are the right people, but selecting your employees with rigor around what you want your experience to be, but then also investing in training, support, education, so that they can be believed. For example, there's a East Coast company called Wegmans, and they're a grocery store chain, and they believe their employees on the floor. So, you know, you could walk up to a guy stocking garbanzo beans and ask him how to poach a fish, and he'll come down off his little ladder and tell you how to poach a fish because he's getting, you know, probably 50% more training than anyone else in the marketplace. And what they've decided is they believe their employees, and so they've thrown away the rule book, and there's only one rule at Wegmans, and it's no customer can leave unhappy.
Hmm. Wow.
You know, and everybody's, you know, and that when it comes down to something like that, you're not you're going to be loyal to a company like that, and you're not going to be shopping 5 cents difference on a can of pork and beans to somewhere else. Yeah,
that's right.
It gets you off of the price orientation and more into a brand orientation. You know, you when we talk about hiring the right staff, you cite an example, and I can't remember because you have such wonderful examples throughout the book that reinforces each of your five concepts here that you illustrate in your book. But there was one company that you cited that really goes the extra mile to making sure that they hire the right people.
Oh, that's probably Zappos, right?
Exactly, yes.
Yep.
Tell us the story.
Sure. Zappos is, you know, has been able to experience phenomenal growth, primarily because of their ability to believe. Now, the important thing about belief is that, you know, think about it. If you say to someone that you know, I believe you, there's an energy that kind of flows through your core, and it's like that at Zappos. It's prosperity of the human spirit that's bred. So at Zappos, they hire you for your passion, and then all the way through their very rigorous training process, where they're going to expect you to really step up and be yourself, bring the best version of yourself to work. They say to you, because they want to honor you, if this is not who you can be, if this is not what you want to be, if you cannot be passionate about this, we'll give you $2,000 to leave. We'll leave as friends. Your honor will be intact. No harm, no foul. $2,000 pay you for your time and honor you that you took the time to get to know us.
That's a great way to start off the relationship. Gene Bliss, our special guest here at the Advertising Show. The brand new book is called I Love You More Than My Dog, Five Decisions That Drive Extreme Customer Loyalty in Good Times and Bad. But you ought to use it all the time. And back with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here in just a minute with more on the Advertising Show.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
It's a real thing in the back of your mind. What you're hoping to find.
Welcome back. I Love You More Than My Dog, Five Decisions That Drive Extreme Customer Loyalty in Good Times and Bad. We have the author of that book in person today here at the Advertising Show, Jean Bliss, with her dog sitting in a red shopping cart. Probably a Target shopping cart. That's okay.
I don't know where that came from.
That doesn't matter. It's a great book. And by the way, CustomerBliss.com is where you can go to find out more about that. And of course, what Jean does in the world here. That would be your daytime job, I guess, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
There you go. Anyway, go ahead, Brad.
I was going to say, on your second printing, Target, if you're listening, Gene will sell a logo on that cart if you're interested. Just to wrap up Zappos hiring practices, Gene, you know, $2,000 offer to try to get people not to work for him so it weeds out people that really want to be there, I think is such an ingenious idea, and few people take them up on it, but it makes sure that you're getting the right people for your organization. I thought that was just an unbelievable idea. You know, your five decisions that you illustrated in the book, Ray mentioned at the beginning of the show today, beloved companies decide to believe, they decide with clarity and purpose, they decide to be real, they decide to be there, and they decide to say they're sorry. And again, great concepts, and each one illustrated very thoroughly in the book. Staying with the last one for a moment, and if you're interested in hearing, learning about all five, buy
the
book.
Get the book,
right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. If a company isn't screwing up with their customers from time to time, I guess they don't have many business.
They don't have any customers, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it happens, right? Yet you describe. You describe, Gene, five actions when a company does make a mistake that let customers know that they're important. So touch upon, if you would, each of these, beginning with delivering a swift response.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing that occurs when you make a mistake is that a lot of companies won't acknowledge it, and they'll sweep it under the rug, which actually makes it worse. You know, being human, we all make mistakes, and what bonds companies with customers is when they acknowledge it. So delivering a swift response saying, hey, our feet are made of clay, we made a mistake, but showing humility and empathy for what the customer experienced because they had a slip-up. Customers aren't mad because you had a slip-up. They're mad because of how you react to the slip-up. Then accepting accountability. For example, there's an example in the book around Netflix that messed up. They had some kind of glitch in their computer system, and they didn't ship out DVDs as quickly as they could have. So you probably didn't even know it. You might be a Netflix subscriber, and your DVDs were backing up. Before customers even let them know, they said, hey, you may not be getting things as fast as you thought. So they accepted accountability. The fourth thing is being honest about what happened and saying how you're going to fix it. And then the fifth is an olive branch. You know, when you punched your brother, your mom told you to say you're sorry and to do something nice to make your brother, you know, make you feel better about your brother. You got to do the same thing as what we learned when we were in second grade.
You know, and we've all had experiences with companies, and I think we really get the wow factor when a company does all of the things that you just described, Gene, because more times than not, unfortunately, the consumer does not experience the good side of a company when they do stumble, and they do from time to time. I want to, you know, I think one of the most intriguing decides that you list there is the decide to be real. I can hear a lot of companies and CMOs out there saying, hey, our company or our client's company are always real. They're doing what they think is real, I suppose, but you've got a little different take on that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, real is about humanity and letting your personality show and enabling your employees to bring the best version of themselves to work. And a lot of companies think, oh, that's relegated to the little small mom and pop kind of company, but it's not. For example, Indra Nooyi, who is the CEO of PepsiCo, brings her culture to work with her every day. She brings who she is as a soccer mom to work every day. She challenges her teams to come up with alternatives to palm oil and snacks that she'd feel good about feeding her own children. And that's what we mean by being real. Getting rid of the corporate vernacular and the rules and regulations and communicating on a personal level as person to person.
And just to wrap up, Gene, you know, of the big companies that you illustrate examples of each of your five platforms there, if you will, the large companies, from what I could tell reading those examples, the CEO gets out of his office, out of the ivory tower. He's down in the trenches. He's with his employees. He's touching with his customers. That seems to be the one common denominator that I was able to see in terms of how a large company is able to be as nimble and do things that would seem easier with a smaller operation.
Very true. You got to give people permission to be yourself. And, you know, I've been in lots of big companies where we get lost in the pomp and circumstance of what we're doing and we forget that there's a person on the other end of our decision. And these CEOs in big companies never let you forget there's people that you're serving and that you have to bring that empathy and that point of view every day and get out there and touch people, talk to people. You know, don't stay in the corporate office. Go out there and connect with who you're serving.
And with that said, we do need to wrap here. But, Gene, best of luck with this book. Right? We hope we sell at least a trillion or more than the national debt or something like that. I love you more than my dog. Five decisions that drive extreme customer loyalty in good times and bad. Gene Bliss, it's a pleasure here. CustomerBliss.com is the website. And, of course, you'll hear Gene, obviously, as a regular guest here at the Advertising Show. A regular part of it, I should say, as well. But, Gene, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure.
On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. Back with more in just a moment.
Smart marketers are discovering a new and better way to get creative solutions. One company got solutions for a corporate identity program in less than 36 hours. The second got solutions for a public relations campaign that won 2 International Creative Awards. The third got solutions for a direct marketing campaign that got a 30% response rate. These marketers are finding creative solutions in a better way. The Open Ad Way. You go to openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 creators. Within days, you get 20 or more creative solutions, and you pay only for the solutions you use. It's a radical new idea. You owe it to yourself to discover what it can mean to have creative solutions on demand. Find out now by going to openad.net, openad.net. Creative solutions on demand.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
Button up your overcoat when the wind is free. Take good care of your cold. Take care of your cold.
So nice to be able to talk to Jean face-to-face, so to speak, here. Jean's in L.A. and her brand-new home, as a matter of fact. With a brand new book. It's called I Love You More Than My Dog. CustomerBliss.com is where you can find out more. or just go to your bookstore and get one of those, or Amazon or whatever.
By the way, if you like what you heard today and you want to read a sample chapter, it's right there, as Ray pointed out, customerbliss.com, sample chapter of the book.
For free. Matt Zucker's with us next week at the Advertising Show. Matt is kind of a cool guy, and he'll be talking about what he's been up to as well. So we've got Matt coming up here as we roll through 2009 at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. And glad you're sticking right alongside us here as well. Rupert Murdoch is declared war on the Internet, just what we need. He's going to battle against the Internet, bent on making readers actually pay for online newspaper journalism, beginning with his London Sunday Times. History suggests he won't back down. Yeah, that's for sure. The experts suggest he's nuts or crazy. And is he also ignoring industry's biggest problem? We'll soon see, I guess. But the most interesting thing about that is he probably will make it a very interesting war for all of us to watch from the outside. Hey, we've got kind of a shortened segment here, Brad. And I want to bring on Jean here right now. This is actually one of the things that she talks about in her new book. It's all about fan websites. Listen to this. Good stuff here.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Jean Bliss.
Did you know there are over 200 YouTube videos of Zipcar customers with their cars? At Threadless.com, over 700,000 customer members submit designs for the t-shirts they sell. The online community, which has grown tenfold since 2004, votes to determine which ones are produced. The Harley Owners Group, started in 1983, now has 850,000 members. And the Harley-Davidson logo is the number one logo requested in the world for tattoos. Nearly all of these companies have fan websites that have sprouted up from devoted followers. For example, IkeaFans.com celebrates frugal and creative approaches for decorating one's home. Customers at fan sites ZipKarma.com and Lushies.com chat about the products they love, providing suggestions and feedback to company members who frequently chime into the conversation. In 2001, after the terrorist attacks in the United States, Southwest Airlines received thousands of letters from customers who wanted to make sure that Southwest would stay in business so they could continue flying with them. Many customers included checks with their letters. Some returned travel vouchers they had received. Are your business decisions earning you this type of customer fan?
This has been your weekly installment of the Customer Experience with Jean Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
See what I said? Good stuff there from Gene Bliss at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Brad, what do you got?
Well, you know, you just mentioned about Rupert Murdoch and wanting to transition from free to paid content. And here's a study that just came out. Most consumers say they would be extremely unlikely to pay for online content, according to a new study co-authored by Omnicom's PhD Media. It also mentioned during the study findings that consumers don't care about the particular brand. Some 44%. Readers online say they access a publication's website via a search engine. So, mm-hmm. You know, they're not going specifically to a particular site for media. They're going for a topic, and then after the search results, they determine what particular media site they might be going to from there. I got to tell you, I don't know about you, Ray, but I don't care what it is, although I think it's really the drug pusher's business model when you give something away for free and then you turn around and charge for it. But I don't know how you take something like the Internet that's, you know, the wild, wild west of all kinds of stuff on there and most of it free, and turn around and change that model and start charging for what once was free. I don't know how you do that.
Well, that's a very valid point, and I don't know how many people would actually put up with something like that either. Although I suppose if you really are passionate about something, you probably might want to have to pay, but you're certainly not going to be happy about it. So we will see how that goes. The Advertising Show being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production, and as I said, Matt Zucker's with us next week here. Go get Gene's book, okay? A great gift. In somebody in the customer service business, absolutely. I love you more than my dog, customerplus.com. It's Ray and Brad on the Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production.